You're now listening to The Festival of Football, presented by Billy Harvey and Henry Barrett.
All right, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Festival of Football Podcast with me, Henry Barrett, and Billy Harvey. Today, we're going to be talking about the round of 16 Euro games that just happened recently. And then Billy's probably going to have a rant about the Tottenham manager announcement that you finally got a manager. I found that whole thing a bit of a joke, really, to be honest. Let's start off with that. How are you thinking about Nuno?
I didn't want him. We mentioned this on a previous podcast when we spoke about like who should be the next Tottenham manager, and it was you that mentioned Nuno, and I was like, oh God, no! Like I don't want him. And look, we've ended up with him. You know the style of football you're going to get: 3-5-2, lots of Portuguese players. I don't mind the Portuguese players. I'd rather make some signings. Like, I've been abusing Tottenham on Twitter and not abusing because that's probably the wrong word, Instagram and stuff. Like, because Patson Daka has just gone to Leicester.
And that's crazy. That's, I mean, for Leicester, once again, they've done it again. The transfer policy, man. They're replacing Vardy with someone like Daka. They're buying someone that they know in a few years, Liverpool are going to come in and say, here's 80, 90 million for him. It's just their transfer model is just something to be jealous of if you're a fan of any other team.
Yep.
And it's just ridiculous. Like, you look at it, okay, Leicester's in European football, West Ham's in European football. Why are you not even trying to compete? Like, why? Talking about West Ham, like, the transfer, we're not buying anyone. Like, we're not even looking like we're going to buy anyone. So it's like, you see what Leicester are doing again. It's just insane.
I know. Join the club. We've got a manager now. So, you know, stranger things have happened during this summer break, but I don't know. I'm not even seeing like us being linked with anyone, or I know obviously because we hadn't had a manager, it's difficult. He's going to want his own players. But if we end up signing like Ruben Neves and Adama Traore, I'm not watching it this season. I can't sit there and watch 3-5-2 Matt Doherty running down the wing passing to Traore. I can't. I'm not a
Wolves. Oh, mate. Yeah, think about that. He was the manager when Doherty was at Wolves, wasn't he? So he's definitely going to be playing now.
He will be, and he's better in a five. But the thing is, you know how Nuno's going to play. Like, that's why Wolves didn't do as well this season, because teams knew how he was going to play. It was too obvious, and he's bringing that obviousness to us. And he's probably going to be without Kane as well, because he's looking like he's going to go to, like, Man City for 100 million. So who's he going to bring in to replace him? Is he going to go to Raul Jimenez? And you're going to be like, oh, my God, might as well just support Wolves if that happens.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but it depends on what Raul Jimenez comes back. I mean, if it's the one, you know, if it's the Sirs, if he comes back the way he was playing before, because obviously he's got a lot of mental stuff to get over after that big, bad injury that he had. But if he can come back firing like he was, I don't think that'd be a bad signing for Spurs. It'll get at least half the goals Kane got, I believe, anyway, personally. So I don't think that's a bad signing. I mean, you could also end up getting that Fabio Silva.
Yeah.
Because I, as you know, we both rave about him. He'll be a good player in the future. And there is some good players at Wolves. You probably get Cody.
Oh God, no! He's awful. He's like we said it before. We need a rebuild, but we don't need to buy the Wolves squad. I think there's better options out there. To be honest with you, if Kane goes, I wouldn't mind taking a gamble on Patrick Schick, like the form that he's in the Euros. But what worries me is Milan Baroš did this all these years ago, and then Liverpool bought him, and he was an absolute donkey in the Premier League. So it's kind of like he's got Milan Baroš vibes going on. But
yeah, I don't think he will fit in at a team like Tottenham. I mean, I think it would help if he came to a team like West Ham where he's got Suchek and Sufal with him. Because I don't know if you've noticed in the Euros with the Czechs, Sufal's putting in crosses. Them crosses he's putting in, mate, are just epic.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why he's doing so well, because he's got these players that fit him around him. Mm-hmm. Whereas at Tottenham, you're not going to play that certain way against, you ain't going to play the way that he likes, I don't think.
No, and I think we need to start looking at buying players, because I know Levy won't, but the squad needs to clear out. It's an aging squad. And I was talking about it with some people who was out for the England game. And I said, I'd take a season where we sold all the old players like Sissoko, Alderweireld, and all the other hangers-ons, and finish 10th and be like, okay, we're just going to write this season off. We've got these younger players coming in. This is going to be the squad that's going to be built around them. And then we go, not this season, but next season is when you kind of, you'll be judged. And I think that's the smart thing to do. I know it's silly to say that, oh, you finish 10th and be happy with it, given we normally get European football. But if we don't take that rebuilding process, we're going to go into a decline like Arsenal. Like you can see, like they had Champions League football and then they got Europa League football. Now they're getting no European football and it's not looking like they're going to push back into that either. So I don't want to go on that slope. I'd rather go on a sort of a instant decline and then a pop straight back up rather than like a steady decline and be a mid-table team.
Problem is, mate, there's not a lot of fans out there that will be like you and will think like you. There's a lot of fans out there that want it now. They want it and they want it now. And they want someone. There's Tottenham fans out there. There's one particular guy I see on TikTok all the time. And like, they're just deluded. Yep. He did a recent video and he's like, if England win the Euros and Harry Kane scores some more goals, he has to win Ballon d'Or. Are you insane? And when I watched that video, I'm like, I'm not negative. I'm not going to go and comment on someone's video and be like, oh, you're just stupid or whatever. That's not the type of person I am. But it just, I can't understand some football fans. It's like me turning around saying, if West Ham buy the players that they should buy this year, we could win the league. Like, come on, man. There's levels to this thing. Kane's not going to win Ballon d'Or unless he goes to City. That's the only chance he's going to win the Ballon d'Or. What's Tottenham done? They've not even won a trophy. On top of that, then you've got Tottenham fans that probably think, oh, yeah, no, Nuno will come in. We signed some players. We could win the league again. You know, same with Arsenal fans.
Yeah.
There'll be Arsenal fans that actually think they can win the league.
Yeah, but that's Arsenal fans. Like, they're deluded. They've always been deluded, like, since time and day. But Tottenham fans, you're right, they're getting worse. Like, some of them I see, like, there's quite a few famous Tottenham fans that have, like, good YouTube channels and stuff. And they just talk some utter rubbish. Like, you're listening to them and you're like, really? Like, are you watching the same games that I'm watching? Are you seeing the same players that I'm seeing? Okay, I get it that you should back your players. But I think, for me, you have to be realistic. If they're not good enough, they're not good enough, whether they play for you or not. And there's no, Kane will never win a Ballon d'Or. Never. He's a good striker, but I don't think he's world class.
The only way he would win a Ballon d'Or is if he wins the Euros, then he goes to City, he wins the league, and then England win the World Cup.
Now that's pushing it. Like, that is not going to happen.
That's the only way he's going to win a Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, you've got strikers like Lewandowski that just broke Gerd Müller's scoring record that's lasted however long that lasted. He's surely got to win it before Kane does.
Well, he should win it this year, really, shouldn't he?
Well, yeah. He will do. There's no excuse.
For me, it's out of Lewandowski and Kante.
Yeah, they won't give it. Well, he's French, isn't he, Kante? And it's a French reward, so he's probably got more chance of winning it. It's a travesty. Like, Lewandowski should win that all day long. But
I personally, my opinion on Nuno, I don't think it's a bad appointment. I mean, it's a bad appointment in the sense of that it's took you forever to announce him.
Mm-hmm.
And you've made a mockery of trying to get managers in, because all these managers that you were close with and then you weren't close with. And I was interested to see David Levy's statement. And I was waiting for him to say Nuno was our number one target and all that, but he couldn't. He couldn't say that because of all this the shit that's been going on. He knew that he couldn't say that sort of thing. So like, I knew that would be quite funny. But yeah, I think Nuno's he's good for Tottenham in a sense that if you do want to do the rebuild, he'll do all right, I guess. He will set you up in a way where you'll be hard to get beat. But I just don't think Tottenham's that sort of team. And if I'm honest, I can look at it now and I can see around Christmas time, Nuno in the press with his head down and struggling and all the pressures on him. And if Kane leaves, it'll be the backlash from Kane leaving and all this. I don't know. I think is either going to hit the ground running, mate, or it's going to be sacked by the new year.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's the second one. To be honest with you, I actually thought that Levy was waiting for Southgate to get dumped out of the Euros and we were going to have Southgate as our next manager. I was saying on Tuesday, when did England play? A few days of Tuesday. I was saying it to my friends and they were like, no, it's not going to happen. I was like, yeah, because England have gone through. Like, if we didn't, I mean, I know the FA said they'll offer in Southgate a new contract anyway, but
I just that was feeling, because of the rumours for Tottenham, isn't it? They didn't want to lose him.
Yeah, and to be honest, we didn't want him at Tottenham. Like, he's an awful manager, but we'll come on to that. But yeah, Nuno, I'll reserve judgment. I'm not happy about it, but we could have ended up with a lot worse. Let's just put it that way.
Well, yeah, there's another Portuguese manager in. And I think David Levy's probably thinking, we've got Nuno in. If this agent, he's his agent, isn't it? So, you know, getting all these players. You know what he's like? He's a tight man, David Levy. So, Dan Levy, whatever his name is. So he's going to do this to whatever he can do to save money. And if Nuno can have a word with the agent, have a word with the player, and you can get five players in instead of two, it's smart business at the end of the day, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, our transfer team doesn't have the best record of bringing in players. It really doesn't. Like, you look at the players that we've brought in, and Ndombele for like 65 million was an absolute disgrace of a transfer fee. And then you've got, who else? Bergwijn for like 20 plus or 30, whatever it was. All right, he's okay, but a bench player.
Mate, I told you in a previous podcast that Mourinho ruined him.
He ruins players. It's what he does. I don't know why we appointed Mourinho. Like, it's pointless. It was actually
when he came in, his debut against Man City, and he scored that goal, mate. He looked like a really good player. Mm-hmm. And then Mourinho put his hands on him, and he just turns him into a shit player. As you said before, did the same thing with Joe Cole.
Yep.
So it is what it is. But yeah, I think Ndombele will come good. I think he's got the talent. I just don't know if he can do it at Tottenham, because once again, Tottenham seem to not want to play him in that position. They'd rather play Dele Alli. But for me, you've got to play Ndombele in that position, not Alli, because he's got the trickery of the feet. You know, he can get out of tight situations. If you lose Kane, it changes a lot. Mm-hmm. So you've got to then use that money wisely at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And Tottenham have got a history of not doing that.
Nope.
Yeah, you need to sell a lot. And, you know, I like Nuno. I think he's a good manager. You don't bring Wolves up when they were struggling for years, because Championship's a hard league. Mm-hmm. If you're not a good manager. So he got him up. He didn't just keep him up. He dominated the league at certain points when he first came up. Yeah, them teams found him out. But as a manager, you've got to evolve. And at a bigger club, maybe he can do that.
Let's hope so. I mean, I don't know. I'm just pessimistic anyway. But I hope he does well. I do genuinely hope he does well, because I want to see the team do well. But I can't see it. I don't think it's the right appointment, if I'm honest. I think.
Well, I'm going to say, speaking about right appointments, wrong appointments, what about Rafa Benitez going to Everton?
What? I don't even know what to say about that. That was why. Number one, why has he done it? Like, I know they call Everton and Liverpool like a friendly rivalry, but it's still a rival, right? Like, it's not. Mm-hmm. Everton are a team that are a mid-table team at best. Let's be honest. They've got some good players, but they're nowhere near what they should be. And bringing in Benitez, he did nothing at Newcastle. Okay, he didn't have any budget.
He did well at Newcastle. He had no budget. The players were trash, and he got them into a mid-table, mediocre position. But from where they were, from what they had, he did amazing at Newcastle.
Yeah, so did Steve Bruce.
Rafa Benitez is that sort of manager that he's not a top four manager, but he's in that top eight bracket. You know, when he goes to the big clubs, he's not going to win you the league. But, you know, like Liverpool, he won the Champions League. With Chelsea, he won the Europa League. So that's what I'm saying. He's that sort of, I say, from fourth place down to like seventh place sort of manager in the league. And I think Everton is a smart appointment. problem is, because of his history with Liverpool, is it going to work? And that would be my only worry if I was an Everton fan. Like, when he's playing Liverpool, is he going to have that cutthroat, you know, attitude? We're going to take out Liverpool today. I don't know if he will. But, no, I don't read too much into it. It's like when we spoke about Lampard and if he managed West Ham one day. It's a job at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And fans have got to take their allegiances off and put it aside and think, right, wait a minute. This guy has been offered a really good job. Mm-hmm. Everton's a good job. If you can't get a top four job, or let's just say, if you can't get the so-called big six clubs, mm-hmm. Everton's probably the next best one to have.
Yeah.
Because they're like the... What's the word I'm looking for? Undercover, you know, big club. You know, the sleeping giant, if you will.
Yeah.
So it's going to, if he can go in there and take Everton to that next level, he's going to go down as one of the best managers in Everton's history. And that's why you take that job. And I think he lives in that area still or something, or his family does at least. So for me, it was a easy appointment, the right appointment. But I can see where the fans are coming from, where they're like, oh, but he used to manage Liverpool. But yeah, for me, you've got to put that to a side.
Yeah, I get it. Like, if you're an Everton fan, you're probably not happy with it because he used to manage Liverpool. Like I said, he has won trophies and he's done this and he's done that. But he plays negative football, like really negative football. And I think the days of negative football and being able to win games in the Premier League and compete at that level is done. Like, you've seen it with Mourinho. Mourinho is the king of playing negative, like win 1-0 at any cost kind of football. Couldn't win much at Man United. Okay, he won a Europa League, but he had Ajax in the final and, you know, that's an easy win. Come to Tottenham, did nothing, absolutely nothing. Okay, smashed Man United 6-1. Can't call that negative. But after that, it fell apart. And the thing is, it's going to...
There's a reason why that happened, that 6-1, though. Man United got that bit of a dodgy red card and then...
The circumstances led to it, but I don't think at the top level of the Premier League now you can play this old school early to mid 2000s football. It just doesn't, you can't do it anymore. And I think he's going to get found out and Everton will struggle again. But they should have gone, if I was Everton, I would have gone for someone like I would have gone for at Tottenham, like Graham Potter at Brighton, because he's a young manager. He plays good, attractive football. The fans will like the football he plays, and they'll probably put up with a few dodgy defeats here and there because they've got...
You don't know that they didn't. He might have rejected them.
He could have done. Yeah, you're right. He could have done.
He might have been happy. He might be happy at Brighton. He might say, look, Brighton gave me my chance. Because before that, wasn't he managing in MLS?
No, he was at, I think he was at Ostersunds and he beat Arsenal at the Emirates, didn't he? And then I think he went to Swansea and then didn't get promoted and then he went to Brighton.
This is what I'm saying. Like, at the end of the day, Brighton's given him that chance to go in the Prem, mm-hmm. right? And some people have a thing called loyalty.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of it in football anymore, but maybe he's one of these people that has it. And he said, look, at the end of the day, Brighton have given me this opportunity. I'm going to stick out my contract. And if he's turned around and said that, no. And then if Brighton, or even if he said, right, well, look, if Brighton say yes, then we'll talk. Maybe Brighton said, no, we want 55 million compensation or something. Like, ridiculous. I don't know. It's just, there's too many factors nowadays. And, like, you always hear, like, for instance, you go on, you're checking, like, transfer rumours and whatever, and 1 minute it's saying, oh, Jesse Lingard, he's not going to sign for West Ham. He's going to sign a contract to Man United. Then look down, two lines down, and then it will say, Jesse Lingard on the verge of signing for West Ham now that Man United signed Sancho. Like, everyone's contradicted themselves. So until you see a player or a manager holding that shirt, from now on, don't believe anything you read. That's what I'll say.
Yeah. You got to see, like, the sort of the proof in the pudding, isn't it, when you're buying players. And I haven't seen any Tottenham ones, so we must not be that busy, but I suppose Nuno's in now, so he might have his own targets. I'm hoping we sign someone because we need to do something.
Yeah, I mean, I see, I saw a thing on TikTok yesterday, and it was like some guy going through an airport, and he's going on the plane, and they're looking at him like, what the hell? And then there's just a caption of Nuno, and then he's got this massive suitcase that probably won't even fit in a living room, right? And then on the suitcase, it just says Portuguese players. And the guy's like, it will fit. It will fit. Leave me alone. It will fit. And he drags the suitcase through. I was like, yeah, I mean, if that's what he does, that's what he does. But I don't think it'd be too bad for you, to be honest. There's a good lot of Portuguese players out there.
Yep.
And, you know, if he brings in some of the Wolves players, it'd be good. I mean, I look at, like, transfers, and the one that makes... Because obviously you've got Arsenal Fan TV, right?
Yeah.
And they do like daily updates of what transfers they're going to get. And some of the players that they think they're going to sign. And one of the videos I watched them watch, well, I watched them make, was they were talking about who they're linked to sign in and who they can sell and all this shit. They reckon that they could get 20 million for Bellerin. I'm like, fuck off, you're not getting 20 million for Bellerin. And then they're like, we can get 20 to 30 million for Xhaka. No, you're only getting 17 million for Xhaka. And then they're looking at, oh, you know, if we could sign Grealish. I'm like, Grealish is not going to go to fucking Arsenal. You're not that club anymore. No. Like, okay, you might get someone from West Ham go to Arsenal, but you're not going to get a Grealish who's like a world star player on the brink of glory go to Arsenal. It's not going to happen.
No, it's not the early 2000s anymore.
Well, it's so bad that Aston Villa still think that they can buy Emile Smith-Rowe from Arsenal because they keep putting bids in for him because they know that eventually Arsenal's owners will be like, yeah, we'll take that. Go on, then, you can go, mate.
Yeah, and to be fair, Aston Villa, like, they're pulling out some signings. Like, they've got that Buendia from Norwich. I don't think he's a great player, but Arsenal wanted him and he'd rather go to Aston Villa than Arsenal. And yeah. Even like last season, like the goalkeeper Martinez said that going to Aston Villa was a step up from Arsenal.
Yeah. And to be very with the way the club's run, mate, that's we could talk about that all day as well. The way Arsenal's run is a joke, but the main thing is for me is I think that Aston Villa are spending Jack Grealish's money. They're replacing Jack Grealish already. If you look at it, that's why they want Smith Rowe. Because they're replacing him with Buendia. If they get Smith Rowe in, which I don't think Arsenal will let him go, but if they did, then they're replacing Jack Grealish. It's clear to see that. So where are they getting all this money from?
They've got wealthy owners.
Yeah, but you can't just spend money willy-dilly. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
No, I know they're trying to get rid of the financial fair play, but in a minute, it's still in. So if they're spending hundreds of millions every year, Aston Villa's not making that much money.
No, they're not. But the thing is that there's ways around financial fair play. Like, the owners loan the club money and call it a gift. And financial fair play just, it keeps the big, we've said it before, it keeps the big teams in the Champions League. That's all it does. Because it stops, say, for example, you were a billionaire and your local club was, you know, a non-league team. Say, like, for me, it'll be Welling. Say I was a billionaire. I go, okay, I'm going to buy a Welling. They're in the Conference South. I'm going to put all my money and resource into them. I'm going to get them to the Premier League, Champions League. Like, we're going to just go for it. You can't do that with financial fair play. You can't, because it stops you from doing it. And I think that's why, like, you don't see, like, when have you ever heard of a takeover now in the Premier League, like a big takeover? It hasn't happened since, like, Man City, because you can't do it. You can't just go and buy a Crystal Palace, for argument's sake. Like, a, you know, some Saudi Arabian prince wants to buy Crystal Palace and turn them into Man City. You can't do that anymore. And
that's what I mean. Newcastle are going to do it at Newcastle, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they stopped doing that. The Premier League stopped that, apparently, because of... And they used it as, like... Because of the people who have been linked to dodgy stuff. That's what they decided to say no. But it's all because they didn't want another big player in the game.
That's it. It's literally fair play. It will protect anyone who's already there. And then as soon as it goes, I think we'll see a more level playing field. Like, we'll see different teams in the Champions League and stuff, because You can. Mate,
West Ham will be bought tomorrow if that financial fair play went in.
Yeah. It's like Newcastle. Someone would buy Newcastle because they've got a big stadium, big fan base, the only team really up there. Why wouldn't you buy them? But because you can't. You can't put the money in that's needed to make them a big team again. You can't do it.
Yeah. Just sharing it.
Yep. It's what it is. But hopefully it goes.
Let's do the roundup of this round of 16 games. So you go through and we'll talk about each game if you want.
Yeah, sure. So we'll start with Wales losing 4-0 to Denmark.
Well, looking at that game, I was watching it, and Wales didn't start too badly. They started like they meant to do something, you know, and the difference in that game, and a lot of the Wales players said it, the manager said it, is the Denmark manager noticed that Ramsey was getting too much space. So what he did is he had five at the back. He put Christensen from Chelsea into the DM position and just sat on Ramsey. And as soon as he did that, changed the game, mate.
Yep.
And that's where Denmark won that game. Now, you watch the interviews afterwards and they said that. And I just think Wales, out of all the other nations, other than like obviously England, but out of all the others, Wales are the team that I like the most. They've had decent players over the years, and they've just not, other than that one European thing before, they've just not clicked, you know? And it's a shame that they went out early, but I mean, Denmark are a good team. They've got some good players.
Yeah.
And they were dropped, obviously, with the Eriksen thing. But now, obviously, he's on the mend, and they're getting back to normal, and they're someone to worry about.
Yep. Yeah, they are, because it's that old thing in tournament football, isn't it? They've got momentum, and they smashed Wales. Like, let's be honest, like, it wasn't even, I don't think it was close. They just dominated the game, smashed them, and it looked easy for them at times. And I know, obviously, they lost to Belgium in the group stage and whatever else, but I think now they're kind of maybe a little bit more emotionally recovered. You can tell that, I mean, they've got the Czechs in the next round, which is a big game as well, but They're a strong team. Like, they've got a good spine with players like Schmeichel, Christensen, Kjær, and their midfield as well. They've got that young player, Damsgaard, is good, and the Dolberg as well up front is not bad. So
that's the first game he had in the tournament.
He's a good striker.
I mean, like, why have they not been playing him? He's been on the bench every game, and then he plays against Wales, scores two goals.
It's because they're playing Braithwaite or Branthwaite, whatever his name is, the Barcelona one.
West Ham are linked to him, and if they buy him, I'll be fuming. He's rubbish. He was at Middlesbrough in the Championship, and then Barcelona bought him. No, stay away from my club, please.
Yeah, he's a donkey. He's an absolute donkey. Like, how he played 44 games for Barcelona, I will never know in my life. But I suppose they needed a striker, and he was what they could get. I mean, that says it all about Barcelona, doesn't it? But yeah, I mean,
they're doing some bits at the minute with these free signings that they're getting in Barcelona.
Yeah, it's because they haven't got any money. They've got no money.
I think they're getting Memphis as well. Imagine that, Memphis, Aguero, Messi, if Messi stays, because I know he's out of contract, isn't he?
Tonight, yeah. Yeah, midnight today it goes, finishes. Oh, actually, no, now, isn't it? It's now, actually, yes, yeah, the first day. Yeah, so, yeah, he's out of contract at the moment, so.
Well, we'll see what Messi was really intending to do. If he actually, now he's out of contract, he should be signing for Man City, shouldn't he, really?
That's what I think, although I have a sneaky feeling, well, PSG can't afford him because of the fair play. It's who can have him because of the fair play as well. That's a big consideration, too. Like,
mate, all you have to do is pay his wages now. There's no good fee.
He'll want, what, if he goes to PSG, he'll want the same as Ronaldo gets at Juventus, like £1 million a week or €1 million a week or something.
For the fans, he should go to Real Madrid.
Can you imagine if he went to Real Madrid? Do you know what? He could either end up at a big European club or go back to like Argentina and play for like new or old boys or someone. Like,
in a few years that'll happen. I think in his mind, he's thinking, I've got to go to the Prem and do something. Because that's the only thing Ronaldo's got on me. Well, other than winning a trophy with my country. But
they could win Copa America, I guess, unless they're out. I don't know if they're out at the moment, but they could win that.
I ain't been paying attention to it.
Nah, same.
So what's the next game?
Italy beat Austria 2-1 in extra time. That was
again, Austria should have won that game. I mean, look, Arnautović was offside by a freaking toenail. It's Italy were lucky. And for me, I won't mind getting Italy in the final if we get there. Like, people were worried about Italy at the beginning, but I looked at that game against Austria. They didn't look anything like that. They didn't look good at all. Austria's not a good team. They have like 3 or 4 good players. And they're not, they play Alaba at left back. Like, I know he naturally plays there, but that's because he's in a decent team. In Austria, you need Alaba more forward. And like, they should have won that game.
Yeah. They should have done. They should have won that game. But the thing is, the Italian team have looked good up until now, haven't they? This has been their first like shaky performance. Although they didn't really that convincing against Wales. I know they beat them, but they wasn't like, you know, on fire like they were in the first two games.
Different team though, wasn't it?
Yeah, but you know, Italy are a strong side, but they've got Belgium in the next round, haven't they? So we'll come on to that.
But well, yeah, but I mean, Belgium are injuries.
True. Yeah.
Werner injured, Hazard's injured. I know you, Hazard's not done much, but still he's injured.
Yeah. Well, the Netherlands went out as well. They lost 2-0 to the Czech Republic, and they lost like convincingly as well. And it was a red card. It was a red.
I'm not surprised at all. When I did my predictions before tournament on my own YouTube channel, I basically said Czech Republic will get to the quarterfinals. That's where they are.
Yeah.
I also said Ukraine will get to the semifinals. So England have got Ukraine. So either way, I've either predicted that Ukraine will get to the semi-finals rightly, or my country gets to the semi-finals, which would be good. So I mean, I've had two good predictions there, to be fair. Czech Republic, mate, it's all about, see, I watch Suchar and Souček every week.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like to me the Czech Republic team have the same spirit and determination that them two have at West Ham. And that's why they're a decent team. And then you've got that lad up front. You know,
shit.
Yeah. They complement each other so well.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me feel like the performances that England had against them, you look at how they played against Holland and other teams. We did well against them to not let them score.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, and to nullify what they were doing. So you've got to put some respect on Southgate's name, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the Czechs were a good teammate. I thought that they got smashed by Italy in a friendly before the tournament. And I was like, oh no, I've just made this prediction video and then I've just been smashed by the Italians.
Mm-hmm.
But now they've turned it up, mate. And I can see them beating Denmark.
Yeah, same.
I can see it being us and Czech Republic in the semis. And I think that will then, that for me, I think Czech Republic probably took it a bit easy again against us, because I thought they didn't want to finish first and get one of the big teams.
No.
Because they got Germany, I think they would have gone out. So I think they played it smart. And I think they'll be a tough opponent if we get them in the semis.
Yeah, for
even
sure.
Even in Denmark. But yeah, they deserved it against Holland. Holland were poor. He made some weird start, like that Woghouse has been starting, scoring goals. He starts on the bench.
Yeah, but he's just a tall target, man. And the Dutch, to be honest with you, this has got to be the worst Dutch team I think I've ever seen in a major tournament. Like, just the quality of players. I know Denzel Dumfries at right back was really good.
Yeah, he looked really good. He looked really good. He looked like he was playing right wing at sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, he looked really good. Apart from that, they had Stekelenburg in goals, 38, 39. Like, I mean, that's a bit like... And then you look at the other players they had, De Ligt. I don't rate him at all. Like, I think he's...
As I said about De Ligt, but... I can't remember if I said it to you or someone else. With De Ligt, he's a good player, but he's young.
Mm.
and he needs someone there with him. He's not at that level yet where he's going to be able to command and take everyone by the scruff of their neck. If Van Dijk was next to him, De Ligt would have been world class.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have that Van Dijk next to him to bring him on, that's why his performances were the way they were, because it was too much for him.
Yeah.
And that's why he got that red card in that game, because he made the mistake and then he knew that they would have gone through on goal and it would have rushed blood to the head. He handballed it. A blatant red card, and it is what it is.
Yeah. And then we had the Manic Monday. The games on that Monday were incredible. So we had Croatia got beat 5-3 in extra time by Spain. What a game that was.
Mate, again, watching that game, Croatia should have won that game.
They should have, yeah.
I mean, when they got it back to 3-3 and it went extra time, like, okay, you got everything going with you now. And then it's like as if they just went, now we've done enough. Let's just let Spain do it. And let him fucking, the world's worst player, score a goal like he scored that Morata. I don't know what people see with him. I don't get it. Why does he keep getting transferred between Atletico Madrid and Juventus? Is it like some kind of
money laundering
loop circle? I don't get it. You know, I'm at Atletico Madrid for 2 years. Then I'm going to go to Juventus for 2 years. Then I'm going to go back to Atletico Madrid for 2 years. Then I'm going to go back to Juventus. Want to sign him again?
Money laundering. That's the only explanation I have, is money laundering, or the agent has got something on both clubs. Because there's no way, he's not a proper striker. Like, Spain looked really good. Like, they played good football. Like, they partial to death. It's typical Spanish tiki-taka, boring. But if they had a proper striker, if they had like a David Villa or a Fernando Torres in this team, they would be brushing teams aside. Like, they just don't have a finisher. And Morata needs like 74 chances before he scores a goal. And
I don't rate Spain. They're not like Spain of old, especially when Croatia scoring 3 goals against you.
Mm.
They only scored, how many goals did they score in the whole tournament? Was it 2 up until that point?
No, I think they got 3. They put 3 past Scotland. They put 3 past Scotland.
Was it 3? Okay, so 3. So they scored 3 goals against Scotland, but that's against Scotland, for fuck's sake. Spain should not have been conceding that many goals. Laporte doesn't look like he's not got a good partnership with any of them players.
Yeah.
Considering he was playing alongside Garcia, which was Man City's partnership at some point in the season before last. I don't know. I don't rate Spain. I think any of them teams that are going to win it from that side will be Belgium or Italy.
Yeah, I think so. Because the French got beat, didn't they, on penalties, which was absolutely hilarious.
I loved it. The moment it turned for me, obviously you want the underdog to win. Mm. It's just natural as a football fan, you want the underdog to win. Switzerland went 1-0 up, missed that stupid penalty.
Yeah.
Benzema then did some mad skill. How he got that ball under control was epic. Then the finish was brilliant. Then he scored again.
Mm-hmm.
You think, all right, probably game over. The moment it turned was when Pogba scored that goal. Now, don't get me wrong, it was a world-class goal. But for you to then sit there and act like the cocky fucking dickhead that he did.
Yeah.
What you did in that moment, like, not only did he stand there and just do this nonsense, right? Okay, fair enough. You're showing off you scored that goal, fine. But then you dance for another like 3 minutes, acting like a right twat. Like, for me personally, that was when it turned. And I think it was a lot of people wanted Switzerland to win at that moment. Yeah. And then they get a goal back, and then they bring the guy on. I've got no way of saying his name.
Gravanovic.
Yeah, well, there you go. He come on, he scored. He looks deadly as hell. I think he scored in the game, in the group stages coming off the bench. He scored 2 goals that were given offside. He looks deadly, mate.
Mm-hmm.
And when he scored that 3rd goal, man, I'm going ape shit. Like, yeah, shame, Pogba. Shame. Go sing that song now. Kumbambe, Kumbambe. Ingano Kante. Yeah, go and do it now, mate. Go on. Go do your dancing now, you twat. And then I'm going to...
It just tells you that this is what I said when we were talking about it at the start of the Euros. The French team, they brought Benzema back, and he has an attitude problem. Pogba has an attitude problem. Rabiot has an attitude problem. Mbappe has a big ego attitude problem. Lloris is an alcoholic. So, you know, he's probably, you know, doesn't really do much, but they have too many big egos in their team. And that's what they didn't have at the last World Cup. They had like Giroud, who seems like a nice chap. I said it at the start, like their team, they were arguing with like Giroud and Benzema were arguing with each other and Mbappe was getting involved. And you know what happens? Like we saw it in like the World Cup in 2002 when they crashed out, they had attitude problems. And then they crashed out of another tournament for attitude problems. It's like, surely they would learn their lesson by now. Like they didn't need Benzema. They could have easily played Giroud up front or Marcus Thuram or someone else. Why bring Benzema back? You know he's an issue.
To be fair though, he did bits though in tournament.
He did well, but
I think the problem with France in the old tournament, mate, was the fact that they went out on that game against Switzerland and thought, we just have to go out on the pitch. We go out on the pitch, we win this game easy. And when they got the 3-1 up, that's why Pogba did what he did. He was like, yeah, next round, we'll play Spain or wherever it is. Cool.
That's it.
And then play Switzerland, man. And Xhaka. Wow. I've never seen someone... The passes he was doing, man. He was on fire.
Yeah, he was on another level. He was the player that Arsenal thought they bought the other night.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, with the penalties, like, all the Swiss penalties were good. Like, every single one of them was good. Like, I know Lloris should have saved one of them. Like, he got a hand to it and it went in. But that could have... He could have saved that. That could have come back off him and hit the post. That was just unlucky. But I was saying, because I watched the penalties and I was saying... that, like, you know, Sommer's getting closer to each one of these. Like, as the penalties went on, he was getting closer to saving one. And then Mbappe stepped up and I was like, he's missing. Like, as soon as he stepped up, I was like, he's going to miss. Because he's put himself fifth to grab the headlines and say he's won the game for them. And it's ego. It's like Kane would do the same thing. And he missed. And I knew he was going to miss. The way he walked up, he missed. Sommer saved it. And I was laughing. I was like, that's what you get.
I just like how he preempted his injury. And then Harry's limping afterwards, like, oh, my leg. It's just so funny.
It's like David Haye when he fought Klitschko, lost the fight, and was like, oh, my toe was broken. Was it? All right, yeah, you've lost. Like,
what about Mike Tyson when he actually won a fight? And he said, what happened in there, Mike? He goes, my back's broken.
I got
a broken back. Craziness.
Yeah, but, you know, now France are out, it opens up the tournament a lot because they were a lot of people's favourites. And to be fair, on paper, they probably were the strongest team.
Yeah, now that's it. I mean, that's it at the end of the day. And I think that probably, we talked about Ballon d'Or earlier on, I think that might stop Kante winning it, to be honest.
Yeah, because France crashed out. He was all right in the tournament, but here we go, they're out. And then we come on to the biggest game of the... last round of the 16 was when England absolutely thumped Germany 2-0.
Yeah, I mean, mate, that first 10 minutes, I was a nerve wreck. Yeah. I mean, I'm not one of these fans, you know, that England's playing, yeah, God save the Queen and all this. Like, I'm not like that. But when it comes to the tournaments, I get into it. But that game against Germany, mate, it was like I was watching West Ham. Oh, mate. Before I got booked earlier on, firstly, I thought he might give a red, and then he didn't.
I think it was a red. If I'm being honest, I think that was a red card.
I think Kyle Walker would have got back, mate. His pace, he would have got a challenge in, so he wasn't clear through on goal. That's the reason why it wasn't a red card. But yeah, the first 10 minutes, we were struggling big time. But then we got into the game, the players settled down, the nerves went, and people are going to say maybe there's an agenda, but Raheem Sterling, he was giving a ball away. I know he scored a goal. Mm-hmm. And fair play to him. Well done, mate. But he was giving the ball away. He gave the ball away from Müller, who, if he would have scored, would have been crazy. It would have, like, who would have thought he would have missed that? But, like,
when it was through, I was in the pub watching it. I just turned to one of the friends and I was like, fucking chicken legs is going to score. Like, and then he missed. And then we just looked at each other, but didn't want to say it. And you know, when they miss chances like that, it's going to be your day. Like, when, because normally 9 times out of 10, he puts that in. Like, he put that in 9 times out of 10. Guaranteed. Yeah, well, if that was Werner through, maybe 2 times out of 10 he scores. But like Müller, you expect him to score like in a big
game. He didn't just miss. It was a really bad shot.
Yeah.
Like a really, really bad shot. But I mean, but yeah, the moment the game changed again when Grealish came on.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happened then was Grealish was getting the ball, slowing it down a bit, coming inside just a touch, and then Luke Shaw was going down the left. Right? That wasn't happening before.
Yeah.
So what happened was they linked up, Grealish and Shaw, Sterling got the goal, and then the two linked up again for Kane's goal. I mean, the only negative bad thing I can say about the England game was last week, about 4 or 5 days before the game, I had a dream, right? And I had a dream that Raheem Sterling had a defender on his left and he's running through on goal. Neuer's coming out at him. He chips the ball over him from outside the box, scores. England wins 1-0. That was a dream I had. So I backed my dream. I had Raheem Sterling to score first, England to win 1-0. Yeah. And I also had Raheem Sterling to score from outside the box. So when he hit that shot in the first half and Neuer made that save, mate, that was 40-1, that, if it went in. I was like, what? And then obviously when Kane scored, it ruined my 1-0 bet. But honestly, it was a great game to be a part of and to just witness in a way. I mean, I lost my voice during, probably, and even for a little bit afterwards, but yeah, we deserved it.
We did.
I think other than a couple of shots that Pickford saved, and to be fair play to Pickford. I was very critical of him being in the squad, being the goalkeeper, but he's not the Everton Pickford in for England. He's turning up. He's been a commander that he doesn't normally do. And yeah, you can tell, like, even when we were, I think we were 1-0 up or 2-0 up at the time, and something the Germans did broke down, he absolutely went apeshit at it was Maguire or someone. He ain't scared of any of them. And to be fair, that's what you need. But speaking of Maguire, he had a freaking amazing game.
He did. He looked like
him. Well, people say that he's slow and that he's not a good defender, mate. Maguire showed that game why Man United paid the money that they paid for him.
Mm-hmm.
And bossed it. Kane again was poor. He got his goal. I'm hoping that makes him kick on now. I really do, but, you know, God knows.
God, I can't see it. Like, when he went down and I thought he was injured, I turned around to everyone. I was like, oh, that's a blessing for us. And the people in the pub were looking
at me. Is it? Who we got? We didn't even have Calvert-Lewin on the bench yesterday. So if he went off, that's Rashford going up front. Rashford can't play up front, mate.
No.
Rashford can't play up front. He's a left winger.
Yeah, it's true. There's not much, but it's better. You know, the form that Kane's in, it would have been better. But he got his goal. Hopefully, like you said, he kicks on and he can, you know, build some confidence from there.
Yeah.
I hope for us, because if we're going to win the tournament, we need him to score goals. Like, it's as simple as that. We need him to score, because him and Sterling are the only players that scored for us.
Well, this is it. I mean, Raheem's taken, as much as for 90 minutes, he's not overly doing well. He's scoring goals, and at the end of the day, that's what you've got to be thankful of, I guess, at the end of the day.
Yeah, he can't do anything more. I know he's had a few iffy performances, but he's scored crucial goals that have won us games, so we can't really be too critical on him. But he might he might tear it up against Ukraine, because he's playing against, like, players that he knows he's better than. So, well, he's playing against Zinchenko, probably. Oh, it depends if he plays one around the left.
He played in midfield, didn't he?
For Ukraine, yeah. Yeah, he does, to be fair. But, I mean, we should beat them. There's just no, like, we'll go on, like, Ukraine beat Sweden in the next game. I stayed in the but both of those teams looked, they didn't look great. Like, let's be honest, like, Ukraine are not the team they were when they had, like, Shevchenko and Redrov and those sort of players.
No, I think Sweden would have been the harder game.
Yeah.
One, because they're our bogey team
for
many years, even though we beat them in the last World Cup. And two, because they've got more individually better players.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, did you see that dodgy challenge?
That was a red card all day long.
Yeah, it was ridiculous, wasn't it?
He could have broken his leg. Like, I don't know. I haven't read about the injury, like, if the player's injured or badly injured, but he could have easily, like, broken his leg. There was no need for him to slide in for that tackle. He could have stood up, body checked him, took the yellow card, and then Sweden are still in the game. But he decided just to rashly, like, oh, I'm just going to dive in, get the ball, not worry about the man. Can't do that anymore. You can't do it.
It was a bad challenge, bad challenge. I mean, I looked at the game. I thought it's got penalties.
Mm-hmm.
But then, no, they nicked it at the end. And, yeah, I mean, I said from day one that Ukraine are going to go far in this tournament. I think they're the underdogs. I think they're the surprise package of the tournament. I just knew that Yarmolenko would turn up.
Yeah,
it's what he does for Ukraine. It's my slight worry about against England, but then again, as I said to you off of before we start recording, he's the sort of player that he turns up against the European teams. So, like, for next year when we're in the Europa League, West Ham, it'd be good if he was there because he turns up against some sort of teams.
Yep.
But when he plays in the Prem, he don't turn up.
He's too slow for the Premier League.
I mean, the English defenders don't allow that sort of thing. The game's too intense for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just hoping that the English players don't let him in on his left foot. That's all it is at the end of the day. Don't let him in on his left foot.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, you could say that about Robin, but Robin had a lot more ability, so he could do other things. He could go past you. He could beat you. He did look to cut in a lot on his left. Like, it's a bit of a thing.
Robin had pace as well.
Yeah, pace, trickery, like, he had everything. Whereas Yarmolenko's just got that one, like, he's got good technique. I'll be fair to him, he's got good technique, but all he does is cut in on his left foot and try and whip a ball in or take a shot. You know what's coming. You show him on his right foot, he's out of the game. Like, he hasn't got a right foot.
Yeah. But that's it. I mean, yeah. So now we have England, Ukraine, Denmark, Czech Republic, Italy, Belgium, and Spain, and
Switzerland.
Listen, tricky. I mean, I think, let's start off with my predictions. I think England will beat Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be like England to lose after beating Germany. We lose to Ukraine, but I think we should have too much for them. We should win that. If we don't get to the final now, Southgate has to go.
There's no excuse. There's no excuse. Yeah, like, I mean, on paper,
if we don't get final, European football final, European Championship final, sorry, Southgate has to be sacked.
Yeah.
The reason why I say that is because this is two tournaments in a row where the luck of the draw has gone our way.
Yep.
Everyone in the World Cup, oh, they did so well, they got to the semis. No, they should have got to the final.
Yep.
The draw was there for us to get to the final. We blew it.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't get to the finals this time, Southgate has to go. But I think we'll beat Ukraine. Denmark, Czech Republic's a 50-50 game.
100%.
I'm going to go with Czech Republic. You know, I love Suchek and Safal, so I'm going to go with them too to get the win, sorry. Spain and Switzerland. I want Switzerland to win, but I think maybe after beating France, they're going to be too knackered and stuff. I think Spain will probably nick it. And then Belgium, Italy, it's
50-50 again.
It's flip a coin, because if De Bruyne is out, you saw what Belgium was like when De Bruyne weren't in the team. I mean, that game against Denmark, they're losing 1-0. They bring De Bruyne on at half-time. They're a totally different team, and they win it. So, if De Bruyne and Hazard's not playing, I think Italy will win. But if one of them is playing, if Hazard's playing, I still think Italy can win. But if De Bruyne is playing, Italy will lose. So,
with the Belgium Italy game, Lukaku, did you see the way he was bullying the Portuguese defenders? And he's not bullying like rubbish defender, he was bullying like Ruben Diaz.
Yeah, I thought he had quite a bad game though.
He didn't have a great game, but you could see that, like, the strength of him, like, he's not going to worry about playing against Chiellini and Bonucci and Acerbi and Bastoni.
Is Chiellini injured? Why didn't he play in the last game?
He's injured, isn't he? I think Chiellini's injured.
Yeah.
He might be back for this one, but the thing is, I don't think Lukaku is going to worry about him, because one, okay, they got great position in the Italian defenders and they're strong and they know how to defend. Lukaku's got pace, strength, power, finish it. He's got everything to worry that defense. Yeah. If he gets the right service, like you said, if De Bruyne is playing and Hazard are playing, he's going to run riot against Italy. I guarantee you, he will dominate them.
Well, I guess we'll see, mate.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for doing this episode again, Bill. It's been great talking to you again. And let's hope and let's pray that it's coming home.
I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it, but I hope so too.
Will it be bad though if I end the podcast with "It's coming home, it's coming, football's coming home"?
I don't think so. I think it'll be fine.
Check us out on all our social, guys, as usual. If you're enjoying the podcast, let us know, give us some feedback, and also share it out, share it around, because that's what we need. We need you to get us out to more people so more people can hear our opinions and let us know if we're wrong or right. What does everyone think of Nuno going to Spurs, Benitez going to Everton, and can England finally bring it home? Will we see something in our lifetime we never thought we'd see? Will England be raising a freaking trophy?
Let's hope so, but I can't see it. But we never know.
We never know. We'll see, mate. We'll see. But anyway, until next time, it's a goodbye from me, a goodbye from Billy, and we'll see you on the next one.
See you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Festival of Football podcast, presented by Henry Barrett and Billy Harvey. We'll see you on the next one.